The second thing that Paul talks about is the mystery of Christ in verses 26 and 27. He refers to the mystery in verse 26, which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. Now, Paul is not talking about a murder mystery here. Some of you like to go to those restaurants where they have these murder mysteries, and you get some food and you get to try to solve a mystery, and sometimes you go from room to room, or sometimes you're in one big room, and I've never done it. Some of my family has done it. They told me about it. I've read about it. Paul's not talking about that. The idea of a mystery in the New Testament is something that was previously unknown because God had not yet revealed it, but God was now revealing it according to his plan. Do you remember the phrase in the book of Galatians in reference to the birth of Christ? In the fullness of time, Jesus came. Well, that's sort of the idea when you talk about a mystery. In the fullness of God's time, he reveals to mankind what he wants to reveal. Even if you go back into the Old Testament, you will find that God does not reveal everything about a particular issue all at one time. In theology, we have the phrase progressive revelation. Even salvation was revealed a little bit in Genesis, a little bit later, a little bit more, a little bit more, all the way down to the New Testament. God chooses to reveal things piece by piece. And so when it talks about the mystery here, is talking about the fact that, as Paul says, this has been hidden for ages and for generations, but now God is revealing this to his saints. Now, there are 20 different places in the New Testament that talk about a mystery, and they don't all refer to the same thing. In verse 27, Paul clarifies for us what this mystery is all about. Excuse me. He says, to them, that is his saints at the end of verse 26, to them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. Here it is. Which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. The mystery that God now revealed was that Gentiles could also be part of what God was doing. They could have Christ in them, just like a believing Jew. Up until the start of the church, any non-Jewish person, any Gentile who wanted to be a God follower had to convert to Judaism. But even then, they were not looked upon as equal to a Jew who followed Christ or followed God. Paul in Ephesians chapter 2 refers to the middle wall of separation. The wall that kept Jew and Gentile apart. And he said that Christ broke down that wall. And he brought a special peace between Jew and Gentile. And now, because he broke that down, they were united in the body of Christ. And because of the death and the resurrection of Jesus, God now revealed, as Paul says in verse 27, the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. When the church began on the day of Pentecost, Gentiles had the same hope for eternity that the Jews had. And that hope was because of Jesus. That phrase, Christ in you, refers to what happens when a person comes to a place where they're confronted with their sin and they confess Jesus as their Lord and their Savior. Christ comes to live in them. Now, you're all familiar with the fact that as a Christian, you are indwelled with the Holy Spirit. But the Bible also says that we have Christ in us, not only in this passage, but 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5. Do you not know that Jesus Christ is in you, Paul asks. In Ephesians 3:17, he says that Christ may dwell in your hearts. It is the presence of Christ in your life that gives you hope for eternity. And as Paul wrote to the Christians here in Colossae, he said, this mystery, this truth that has been hidden for ages and for generations, God is now revealing. And that is the hope that all Christians have. It's the hope that you and I have. That someday, because Christ is in us, because of the relationship we have with Jesus Christ, we will be with Him in eternity. That is the hope of the transformed life. Well, the third thing that Paul talks about in these verses is the message of Christ. Verse 28, he says, Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. To this end I also labor, striving according to His working which works in me mightily. Now Paul talks about two things in reference to the message of Christ. First, he talks about the content of the message. Every message has a content. Every message has a subject matter. Now in Paul's case, the content of the message was Jesus. He says, in Him is or Him we preach. It is Jesus. He has just said, the mystery was Christ in you, the hope of glory, Him we preach. And so the Him refers back to the subject matter in the previous verse, Christ. Throughout the Apostle Paul's ministry, the only message that he preached was Jesus Christ. When he wrote to the church in Corinth, he said, I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Just before he went to Corinth, Paul had been in Athens, and he had gotten just a little bit sidetracked, debating some of the philosophical minds of the day. And he had to draw himself back and say, you know what? I'm just going to preach Jesus. That's my message. And while Paul dealt with many other topics, read the book of 1 Corinthians, he dealt with marriage, he dealt with giving in the church, he dealt with quite a number of topics. Everything that he said was based on Jesus. One writer put it this way, Paul was saying that in all of his teaching, in all of his preaching, in all of his missionary activity, the central point of importance was the cross. In effect, he was saying, you might forget other things that I teach you, but don't ever forget the cross. That's good advice. It's good advice for every Christian. It's good advice for every church. Don't ever forget Jesus. I subscribe to, or I should say on Facebook, I follow a well-known Christian leader who teaches a lot at Christian universities. And on top of that, he preaches in churches all over America, in fact, around the world. And he'll normally post where he's going to preach the next Sunday. And when he does, he almost always ends his post with a statement like this, let's make much of Jesus. Whatever we do in our church on Sunday, let's make much of Jesus. That's what Paul is saying here, just in different words. Him we preach. We need to make sure that our message is Jesus and Him crucified. He needs to be the focal point of our lives and of our ministry. He needs to be the foundation for everything we do. If we ever get away from the message of Jesus, especially as a church, but also as people, if we ever get away from the message of Jesus, we will cease to be a church that has anything to offer people. We need to warn people that without Jesus, they face a bleak eternity. We need to teach people that Jesus is the answer for their lives. Jesus has to be the content of our message. Now, Paul also talked about the purpose of the message. He says, look at the end of verse 28. He says that in order that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Now, Paul was not saying that at some point in your life, you are going to reach a place of spiritual perfection. The Christian life is about spiritual progress more than it is about spiritual perfection. There are various statements in Scripture that different groups use to teach that in this life, you can reach a point of spiritual perfection. You can attain spiritual perfection. For example, they go to the prayer of Christ in John 17, and he was praying for his disciples, and he says, "Sanctify them by your truth." They go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23, where Paul writes, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely." And they say, quoting from one group that teaches sinless perfection, the experience these verses imply is attainable. When the Bible says he can sanctify you completely, he's implying that in this life, you can reach sinless perfection. Well, when they say the experience implies, what the experience implies is attainable, the answer is yes, it is attainable, just not in this life. They just have their timing down wrong. The Bible does not teach that you can be perfect in this life. In fact, John in 1 John says that we will be like him. When, class? When we see him. What is he like? He's perfect. It's when we see Jesus that we will become like Jesus. But that does not give us an excuse not to work for holiness. We are to make progress in holiness. The purpose of the message is so you and I will come to a place, when Paul uses that word perfection, that it may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, that word means spiritual maturity. He's saying, I want you to become a mature Christian. Not a perfect Christian necessarily, but a mature Christian. And that we can lead other people to a place of spiritual maturity. The purpose of our message is that so when people stand before God in eternity, they can stand perfect in Jesus Christ, not because they've tried so hard, but because God has placed the righteousness of Jesus upon them. We will stand perfect before God, not because we have lived a perfect life, but because we have a perfect Savior. And so in verse 29, Paul writes, "To this end or for this purpose, I also labor, striving according to His working, which works in me mightily." When your life has been transformed by Jesus, you will want, like Paul, to tell other people about Jesus. That will be the content of your message. That will be the purpose of your message. Never, ever get away from talking about Jesus. And by God's grace as a church, we should never, ever get away from the message of Jesus. As the speaker I quoted earlier said, let's make much about Jesus, not just on Sunday, but on every day. We have been transformed by Jesus to live like Jesus. That might involve suffering as He suffered. It involves a hope that is better than anything any of us will have in this life, a hope for eternity, and it's a message about Jesus. You see, transformed people will live transformed lives. And the Apostle Paul is a great example of that for us in this ending section of chapter 1. As he talks about suffering for Jesus. As he talks about the mystery of Jesus. As he talks about the message of Jesus. Let's pray together. Father, help us like the Apostle Paul to be willing, if You call us, to suffer for the cause of Jesus. And Lord, as we pray for that, we pray, Lord, that You would be with Christians in places like China and places like India and in other countries around the world that persecute followers of Jesus. Lord, we pray that You would bolster them and give them courage and protection. And Lord, help them not to give up, not to be defeated, not to be discouraged, but to live transformed lives. And Lord, should we face some mild opposition because we're Christians, or should the day ever come where we face great opposition because we are Christians, my prayer is that You would help us to stand fast and even to rejoice in our suffering. And then, Father, we're so thankful for that mystery that You revealed, that we as Gentiles can participate in the salvation that You made possible through the person of Jesus. And we have a great hope for eternity. And help us to take that message and to share that message. Lord, as individuals and as a church, help us never to back away from talking about Jesus. Lord, help us to live transformed lives. I pray in Christ's name. Amen.